We are holding on Daf Lamed Vav Amud Aleph, the two dots about 15 lines down. So we saw yesterday in the Mishnah that there is a hetzer of Mishilin Peris Derech Aruba B'Yamtiv. If a person sees that it's about to rain, the Geshem is Mamash Meshuba, a person is allowed to lower through the skylight their fruit, so that it shouldn't be a financial loss. The Gemara is going to call this and refer to this as a hefsid merubah. And it's not considered to be a great tircha insofar as they don't need to lift up the peiros. They just kind of push the box and then it just falls down the skylight. That is something which you can do on Yom Tov, but not on Shabbos. So Chazal were more concerned about tircha on Shabbos than they were on Yom Tov. You can be meishal peiros on Yom Tov, not on Shabbos. Then we said that the second line of the Mishnah was a little bit ambiguous in that it said, "Umechasin peiros v'kelim mipnei hadelef, v'chin tadi ayin v'chin tadi shemen." You're allowed to cover over fruit with kelim if there's a drip, and you can so too you can cover over jugs of wine and oil. Didn't tell us if it was Shabbos or Yom Tov. And the last line in the Mishnah was, "V'nesin kli tachas hadelef b'Shabbos." You can even place a kli underneath a drip on Shabbos and kol shekein on Yom Tov. So, as we mentioned, first case is for sure only Yom Tov, not Shabbos. Last case is even Shabbos and for sure Yom Tov. Middle case wasn't so clear. Rashi understood that it's specifically Yom Tov. Now, we also mentioned at the beginning of the sugya that how much, the Mishnah seems to say, it doesn't actually tell us how much, just says Mishilin Peres Derech Aruba. So, can I spend the entire day of Yom Tov lowering my pay risk? Can I spend hours and hours doing so? Or is there a limit? So the Gemara wants us to know how much, ad kama. And the Gemara quoted the Shem Rabbi Yechanan, it's like that which we find in Masechah Shabbos. So, and as we had a discussion after the Chabur yesterday, why is the Gemara asking a question? It seems to be quite clear. Rabbi Yechanan says that, like that which it says in the Mishnah in Shabbos, the Mishnah says in Shabbos, that a person is allowed to remove and move four or five boxes worth on Shabbos if you need to make place for a Beis Medrash or to make place for your guests and so on. So Rabbi Yechon understood that it's a davar pasha just like that which we said in Shabbos. That was the way the Gemara presented it initially. But then the Gemara went on to say, no, maybe Shabbos is different. In other words, you, Rabbi Yechon, assume Yom Tov will be the same as Shabbos. We know that there's a difference. After all, we already saw in the Mishnah that there's differences between Shabbos and Yom Tov. So maybe there's a difference. Maybe over there it's because of Itlbeis Medrash. Or maybe the reason why there we allowed four or five is because Shabbos is Chum and there's no concern of Zilzal. But Yom Tov, which is Kal, and there's a concern of Zilzal, maybe we should be more Machmer, like we saw in the beginning of the Masechta Daf Beis. Other chilukim and so on. So that was one question, one discussion. Again, it was a milsa de pshita, l'Rav Yechanan, and the Gemara questioned it, and we'll come back to this discussion in a minute. Then the second point that the Gemara wanted to know is that, again, over there in the Masechah Shabbos, it says that even though we will allow you to be tereach and to move four or five boxes worth in order to make space, but if there's only four or five boxes in total, we will not allow you to remove all four or all five of those boxes, because then the entire floor space will be revealed. And the concern is, once the floor space becomes revealed, the person might say, oh, I didn't realize how bumpy it is. Let me go and straighten it out. And they will come to be mashve gumais, which inside a person's house can mean it's a deraisa of baina. So, just like over there, they disallowed one to move four or five, if that is the total, if that's all of the kupais you have, because now the floor is going to be revealed, what would we say? Legabi Yom Tov. And again, back and forth, there's kulas and chumras, what do we do? That was the second shayla. The third shayla we said is that over here in our sugya, that we allow you to drop these peiros through the skylight is within the gag. You've got fruit on the gag, you can drop the fruit through the skylight on the gag. But you're not allowed to take it and move it from one gag to the next gag. So if I didn't have a skylight, if but you know, three gagos away, my neighbor has got a nice fancy skylight. So can I go ahead and move my fruit from my neighbor to the next neighbor till the skylight, and then drop it down? No, 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 you're not allowed to do that. Megag legag loy. You're not allowed to do that. Once again, what do we say on Shabbos? Kulas and chumras both way. And finally, the fourth shaila was, we mentioned about lowering things on ladders, which requires you to actually carrying it. You have to carry it whilst you're on the ladder. That's much more of a tircha. And so on. We said, lo yishal shem b'chavu b'chaleinez v'loy. You read them derech sulamis, and so on. And again, we had a discussion, Shabbos, Yom Tov, Kulas and Chumras, and we ended up with a teiku. So those were the four questions. We go ends up with a teiku. So it's a very interesting discussion in the Rishonim as to how to paskin. So for instance, the Rif, when the Rif quotes our sugya, the Rif is matik the Mishnah Kitzurasa. He just quotes the Mishnah as is. Nishilim peres derech aruba b'Yom Tov. So he's matik it Kitzurasa. So the Rishonim are medayik from the fact that the Rif just simply quotes the Mishnah and he doesn't bring in any of this discussion. They understand that you're allowed to be meshil, well, even tuva, many, many payers, several boxes, you can do whatever you want, and there's no limit. So paskins the Rambam, so paskins the Shulchan Aruch, so says the Amshel Shlomai, you can do whatever you want. Says the Balamar, and says the Rosh, that no, that being that it was poshut to Rabbi Yochanan, that you can only do as much as was mentioned in Masechet Shabbos, which was four or five boxes, and no more than that. So say these Rishonim, that v'leidachi may depshita le'Rabbi Yochanan mishum dechia ba'alma. It was poshut to Rabbi Yochanan ka'isa shishaninu. You want to know how much peiros you can put down the skylight? How much tircha will we allow? Take a look at what you find in Shabbos, and there that's where you'll learn from. Four or five zehu, that's it. Either Gemara is madche. We're not going to push aside a davar poshut, that which was a davar poshut to Rabbi Yochanan, for a tchia ba'alma and so on. Says the Ran, it's mistabra. The being that Rabbi Yochanan said that Yom Tov and Shabbos are the same, so who are the Nami? We would say the other way in the other Shailas of the Gemara and so on. So, meaning whether or not we started with Shabbos and we apply it to Yom Tov to Shabbos, we would equate the two. It's very interesting. The Amshel Shlomo writes, and he says, you know what? The Svara of the Balamar is a very good Svara. Meaning, what is the Svara of the Balamar? If you're a Pesach, if you're a Rishon, you're examining the Sugya. And you're trying to question, how should I paskin? On the one hand, Rabbi Yochanan says, you want to know how much? Take a look at Shabbos, four or five kupas. But then Gemara says, maybe not. Maybe it's this, maybe it's that. Teiku. Says the Amshel Shlomo, Rei Geshmak. He says, even though the svar of the Balamar, of Lei Dachin and Milsa the Pshita Rabbi Yochanan and Lamaidim Esapkina and Lei, however, Rezak the Balamar like this, Rezak the Amshel Shlomo like this. He says, that's all good and well, ilmolei shemasik ha-gemara teiku. Had it not been that the Gemara concluded with teiku. But think about this. Ravina and Ravashi gave their shemple to teiku. This question stands. We don't have a way of being machriya this suffix. We don't know the answer to this. So had the Gemara not ended up with a teiku, and it would have just been a nice little shakl of attire, Rabbi Yochanan says, how much? Four or five. So says, well, maybe not. I can hear a chilek. Okay. Then your svara balamar is a great svara. But the Gemara ends off with teiku. So the Gemara is saying, I'm actually not sure. Oh, Ravina and Ravashi end off saying, I'm not sure. That already is very compelling. That means it blibes a teiku. If it's a teiku, so now we will put on a different set of eyeglasses. We will now say, okay, this is a teiku in a suffix in a derabbanan, could be meiko. Hence the psak of the Rif and the Rambam, who say afilu tuva, you can do even more. At the end of the day, it's a suffix in a derabbanan. It's a suffix in a derabbanan. Shada they ask it because of tircha, and therefore we can be more meiko and we can allow you to be meishil in peiros afilu tuva. Even many pay risk because of the take of the Gemara. That is the way The Yam Shoshlem explains the Psak of the Rif, and the Rambam, and as we mentioned, that's also the Psak in Shulchan Aruch. Good. Says the Gemara Vayter, Umachasin es haperis. So we said in the Mishnah that you're allowed to cover over fruit. You're allowed to be mechase peiros. So let's first understand Pashav Shat. We said in the Mishnah, mechasin peiros bekelim ebnei adelef. So you've got fruit, and there's a drip, and the drip is going to damage the fruit. You're allowed to take your kelim, and you're allowed to cover them over. Okay. Says the Gemara, Amr Ula, Vafilu Avira Delivni. The head of the Mishnah extends not only to covering fruit, it extends even to covering over something which is mukta. An item of mukta. An item which is mukta. That is the head of the Mishnah. You shouldn't think that it is limited, only to fruit, which is something which is metallical, something which you can use today. Afil avir delivni. If you look at Rashi, about 15 lines down, afil avir delivni levenim hasidurim umuktzim lebinyanim. So this would be a mukta chamura. Remember, this would be like a mukta machmas chisar and kis type of mukta. Vagishamim neitfin, the rain is dripping. Umisyareish le yamuchu, you're scared that they're going to get dissolved. Mutalatatal kalim litzarkon. There's a heta to be mutalatal kalim litzarkon. What's the chiddush? This next line of Rashi is the chiddush. V'loy amrinin hoyol v'hein atzmin ein nitalin af hakli lo yinatel litzarkon. And this kind of, you know, opens up our mind a little bit when it comes to the whole world of tiltal mukta. Tiltal mukta is something which does not have a permitted use on Shabbos and Yom Tov. I'm not allowed to be mitaltal. What about being mitaltal something which is permitted for something which is not permitted? I would like to pick up a blanket to use it to cover over a mukta machmas chisarin kis, to cover over a mukta machmas gufay, to cover over a mukta. So we would say, well, you know, why not? At the end of the day, I am picking up a tissue. Tissue is muta betiltal. The fact that I would like to go and cover over a mukta machmas chisarin kis, who cares? The Gemara is going to say in a minute, no, you're not allowed to do that. There's a day in Shas, there's the day of Rabbi Yitzchak, who says a fascinating thing. Ein kli nitzel, ella litzerich dover hanitzel. That's also part and parcel of the restrictions and the limitations of mukta. It always has to be for the sake of something which is a bar total. And, you know, the mind starts to think, you know, we mentioned three reasons in the Rambam, one reason in the Ravid and Rashi, as to the reason why Chazal asked mukta. And we said that there's a din. Now there's a din, the Rambam speaks about you have to have shvisase nikeres, and if you're going to handle things like weekday, it's not going to be shvisase nikeres. And the Rambam also said that there's a concern you might come to do malacha. the Ravid said it's a siog for hoitzah, like all different types of reasons which were mentioned in the world of Rabbi Yitzchak, you know, to think and to contemplate, you know, how does he understand mukta. So again, one more time. Says Ula, don't make a mistake and think that the heter to cover over something is only fruit because it's a bar tiltal, because you're allowed to move fruit. No. If you don't have the livne, even if you have a mukta chamura, like mukta machmas chasaron kis, it's still permitted. Rabbi Yitzchak, and this is the shita which disagrees. We don't paskin like it, but this comes up in many places in Shas. Rabbi Yitzchak disagrees. Rabbi Yitzchak Amar Peiros Haro'uyin. The heter of the Mishnah is, and the Pashtus is like Rabbi Yitzchak. The Mishnah says the heter is for Peiros. Zog Rabbi Yitzchak Peiros Haro'uyin, only for Peiros. Also the Rabbi Yitzchak L'tamei. The Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Ein Kli Nitel Ella L'davra Nitel B'Shabbos. The heter to be metaltel. An item is only for the sake of something which is a bar tiltal. And that is the shita of Rabbi Yitzchak. So the Gemara now is going to go through a lengthy discussion to try and prove or disprove Rabbi Yitzchak. Tanan, we learned in the Mishnah, Mechasen es haperos bekelim. You are allowed to be mechasa fruit with kelim. Isn't it meduyik perisin avir delivni loy? Because after all, why not teach me the bigger chiddush? If there's a heter to pick up a blanket, even for something which is mukta, why not tell me that? Surely teach me a bigger chiddush. Says the Gemara, no. Hu adin, dafilo avir delivni. So again, so why didn't you say that? Tell me the bigger chiddush. The Aidi the Tanaresha Mishilin Paris Tanaseif Anami Mechasinasa Paris. Very interesting. You have a choice of kind of keeping the structure of the Mishnah symmetrical or teaching a bigger Chiddush. We would rather keep the structure of the Mishnah symmetrical. As we know, the Mishnahs were learnt, Baal Peh, and so on. And even though we could have taught a bigger Chiddush, symmetry was more important. Tanan. Let's try and bring another Raya from the next case. What's the next case in the Mishnah? V'chein kadei yayin v'chadei shemen. So too, you're allowed to cover over jugs of wine and jugs of oil if there's a drip and there's concern of financial loss. V'chein kadei yayin v'chadei shemen. So again, isn't that referring to specifically things which are a bar tiltal? So you see, the Mishnah once again is reiterating that the heter is only for something which is a bar tiltal. V'chein kadei yayin v'chadei shemen. Says the Gemara, no. Betivla. No. We are speaking about yayin and shemen, which is tevel. That is what we are speaking about. And says the Gemara, you know what? Achanami mistabra. Taka makes sense to say we are speaking about tevel. These are kadai dechkade yayin dechkade shemen de teira. Because if you think we are speaking about regular jugs of wine and oil, which is permitted, hatanale reisha peiros. We already said a similar case. We said you're allowed to even pick up and move and drop down the skylight the fruit. So obviously you'd be allowed to cover over regular fruit, which is edible. So why would we need to say that? So it must be that when we speak about kadiyan and kadi shemen, it must be that it's referring to kadiyan and kadi shemen, which is tevel. In which case we see once again, not like Rabbi Yitzchak, that a kli is nitzel. Even letzerich, something which is not nitzel. And then the Gemara says, no, if that's your proof, if your proof is from the fact that it must be that it's referring to tevel, because otherwise, hatana reish, kadiyan v'kadi shemen, hatana reish peiros, and so on, says the Gemara, no, kadiyan v'kadi shemen, it's trichalei. Really, I can tell you that we needed to tell me a heter of kadiyan and kadi shemen. Sagdei d'chamina lehefsin meruba chashashu, lehefsin mut lechashashu. I might have thought that the heter in the reisha, mishilin peiros, the haruba, is only because you've got all of your fruit drying on the roof. And if they're going to get wet, there's going to be a hefsed meruba. So maybe there, Chazal allowed you to be tereach. Whereas if it's just a hefsed mu'at of a drip onto your fruit, Rashi says hefsed mu'at, about eight lines, if lines become wide, Hefsed mu'at gishamim ha'netim al kada yayin hefsed mu'atu achetechshach v'yisalkim. Yeah, it's not so long. You just wait a few hours until nightfall. I will pay raise markivim. But if it is fruit, they're going to rot. So maybe the heter was specifically for that. Now, therefore, you don't necessarily have a raya, because you might have thought it's only for hefsed meruba, not mu'at, kamash money even for hefsed mu'at. But kids, you don't have a raya either way. Tanan. Let's bring a raya from the next line of the Mishnah. What's the last line of the Mishnah? V'nosnin kli tachas adelef b'shabbos. So you're allowed to place a kli underneath the delef. So what are you doing? You are capturing the drip. You're capturing the drip. So you are picking up a kli. The kli, you're being metal to the kli for the sake of something. We think that the drip, the water is foul, is unclear, is unclean water. So once again, we see that the kli is being nital. Let's say davar she'ein a nital. Once again, a raya against Rabbi Yitzchak Tanan, basically tachas adelef b'shabbos. Says the Gemara b'delef haroi. We are speaking about delef haroi. Rashi says she'in slulin v'ruyin lebehima. At least it's something which is roi for an animal to drink. And therefore, you have no proof against Rabbi Yitzchak. So, you know, fascinating. The Gemara can say this, trying to bring rayas back and forth. We still don't have a raya against Rabbi Yitzchak. Toshma, parsin machzeles al gabi levenim b'shabbos. So now, we move on to a raya from Masechet Shabbos. What does it say over there? it says one is allowed to spread a mat on top of bricks on Shabbos. Now these are bricks. These are bricks which we assume are bricks which are Oymed Labinyan. And nevertheless, you see a kli is nitl tzeach davar shein nitl. Says the Gemara, no, the ayater mi binyan, they're left over. The chazil mizgalai, you're going to use them to lean on them, to recline on them, and therefore these bricks are not oymed labinyan anymore, that you would treat them like muktzamachim chasar and kis and so on, but rather they are bricks which you would lie in and recline on and so on. Toshma. We bring another proof, again, from the sugya over there in Shabbos Mem Gimel. Toshma, parisin, machzeles, al-gabi, avonim, b'Shabbos. Says you're allowed to spread a mat on top of avonim, on top of bricks. Says the Gemara once again, no, but avonim mekur zolais. We're speaking about nice, smooth stone. Techazin lebeis hakisei. Which a person can use to wipe themselves with. That's what was used in former times. So you have nice, smooth stones, and therefore they are omed to be used in the Beis HaKisei. And is not considered to be mukta. Toshma. Parsin machzeles al gabi kaveres devorim b'Shabbos. One is allowed to spread a mat on top of a beehive on Shabbos, b'chama m'me'achama, b'kshamim m'ne'agshamim. If you either you want to protect because of the hot weather or because of the rain, u'bevajliyizkav, and lots of it, as long as you don't have intention for trapping. As long as you don't have intention for trapping. So we assume, what are we doing? You are doing this for the sake of a kaveres, the beehive. The beehive is mukta. You're protecting the beehive, the bees, and so on. So surely you are taking a mat, and you're doing it for the sake of a davar mukta. So we see once again a raya, not like Rabbi Yitzchak. Hasam nami the ikad dvash. No, we're speaking about a beehive which has honey inside it. If there's honey inside it, so then you're taking it for the sake of the protection of the honey. The honey is obviously something which is permitted. It's a bar tiltal. Once again, no raya against Rabbi Yitzchak.
Yeah, correct.
That's all good and well in the summer where this honey is found in the beehive. Whereas Bimezak is Shamim, where you won't find honey, Maikila Maymar. And here this Bryce seems to say categorically, Parsin Achtelas Lagabikavar is the Brahma Shabbos, even in Bimezak is Shamim. So you can do it even then, you might say, Shamim. So what are you going to say to that? So we answer, no. Loi nitzucha ela lais and shtei chalais. Well, there's always going to be two chalais left over. And those two chalais, that is something which is always considered to be edible. I mean, that's something which is edible, and that's something which remains even throughout the winter months. And therefore, that's not considered to be a mukta. And therefore, even if you spread it over the beehive in the winter months, it's fine. Rashi says in the first wide line, "Shtei chalis shel tzipiches minichem bekaveres kesheredim meisa umehen parnasa ledvorim kol yemeisa gishamim." So the bees kind of use and eat, and they sustain themselves from this, from these two chalis which remain. And so on, and therefore there is something which is permitted, and therefore you are right to taking something l'tzich davar hanitzel. But asks the Gemara Kasha, one second. That honeycomb which remains inside, surely you have designated that honeycomb for the bees. If you've designated it for the bees, so weiter it's mukta. And if it's mukta, so once again, we have a proof. You're picking up a mat for the sake of covering over the beehive. And don't tell me, oh, well, it's okay because there's honeycomb inside, but the honeycomb has since been designated for the bees. So it's off limits. It's mukta. Says the Gemara now. It's not mukta. The case is that you had a machshava. You had a machshava that you intend on eating it. And therefore, it's not mukta. So says the Gemara. So what's the din if you didn't think about it? So then you would agree that it's osir? Avol echish v'lem mai osir? Attack to be osir? If so, why does this brisa need to incorporate two different potentially surim? You know, maybe mukta and maybe tzeda. So in other words, what do the brisa say? Parsa machtos lagavi avon. What do the brisa say again? Parsa machtos lagavi kaves the very mishabes nechama. So that you can do, and there's no problem of being metaltal, it's no problem. But the second thing we said is, oh, but providing that there's no problem of tzeda, why do you need to jump to another iser, another parsha, another simon in Shulchan Aruch? Keep everything within tiltal muktzah. In other words, if you, Rabbi Yitzchak, hold it ain clean nitzel elo litzeich davar hanitzel, and you would not be allowed to pick up the mat to cover over the bee, the beehive, if everything there was muktzah, so why don't you just make the following distinction? Why don't you just say the following thing and say, Adetani Bavashi's Kavan Lotzud, instead of going to a new case, a new Isser, Lifleg Velisni Bidida, you could have made a distinction within it itself, and you could have said the following, B'medivar Mamurim, Shechishav Aleyem, when is it permitted? If you thought that you intend to eat the honeycomb, and therefore now it's no longer considered to be a muktzah. Avolei chishav aleihem. But if you never thought about it, it's going to be osur. And why? Even the very fact that the braisa had to come onto a brand new sug iser in order to tell me a case of what's going to be problematic clearly shows not like you, Rabbi Yitzchak. Says Rabbi Yitzchak, no, achikama. This is how you to understand it. Even though you had in mind to consume the honeycomb, and therefore it's not considered to be muktzah, still remember, Ubavajli Iskavin Lotzit. But please remember, right, make sure you don't have in mind to do an act of tzedah. Full stop. So, again, as we mentioned, quite fascinating that Rabbi Yitzchak has been able to withstand the scrutiny of all these Mishnayos and Brises. Lamaisa, we don't pass like Rabbi Yitzchak. We pass in the clear, is nitl, even the tzech davar she'ena nitl. But Lamaisa, we were not able to shlag up Rabbi Yitzchak from these sources. So, we say like this. B'mai ukimta. So, how have we established this final case, this final Brise of Parsim Achzelas Lagavi Kaveres Devoirim, B'Shabes, B'cham Ne'acham, B'Gisham Ne'agisham, B'Vachli Yiskav and Lotze. B'mai ukimta. Rabbi Yehuda, the Lesley Mukta, Lesley Mukta, we have established it like Rabbi Yehuda. How do we see that? Where do we ever see that? Says Rashi, five rounds at the bottom. But my came to Rabbi Yehuda, Kolayma, Midahadi Lechal Letrutzi Aresha. We could have given a much simpler answer. What are you saying? Oh, the honeycomb has been reserved and earmarked for the bees. Who cares? Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold about that type of mukta. This is food. What's the deal? If I take a chocolate bar and I put this chocolate bar next to the bees so that they can have a little nosh on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Well, in the world of Rav Shimon, I can go and take that chocolate bar away. Well, because I designated it for the bees. I would like to have my chocolate bar now. I'm allowed to take it back. It's only in the world of Rabbi Yehuda that those types of mukta halachically compel me. So we could have given a very simple answer. So what? That you designated the honeycomb for the bees. So what? Take it back. From the fact that we didn't say that, it must be that we're going like Rabbi Yehuda holds a mukta. See Rashi again. You could have answered. Areisha Homani Rav Shimon, the Lesley Mukta, Uma Hadris Ashni Dechiko, and you gave a dachik answer. The Meimah Mishum Shtei Chalis, Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda boys, oh come on, must be trying to be in my middle like Rabbi Yehuda. Mishum Rabbi Yitzchak de Meisvin and Lei Hanach Tiyuvta, because Rabbi Yitzchak, about whom we're asking all these questions, is Le Mukta Rabbi Yehuda. So this price back in the Gemara. B'mayu came to Rabbi Yehuda the Isle Mukta. But now we've got a problem with the last line of the Brisa. What does the last line say? Eima Seifa Ubilvad Shalo Yiskavein Lotzud. You can go ahead and throw the mat over the beehive as long as you don't have kavana to do an act of trapping. as long as he's in a kavana, meaning as long as it's the davar shem miskaven, because if it's the davar shem miskaven, it's mutter. Asan Rav Shimon, the davar shem miskaven is mutter. In the world of Rebbe, the davar shem miskaven is aser. So what does it help to say? Ubel vad shalei yiskaven lotzed. And Rashi understands that it could very well be that they got trapped. But being that you didn't have intention to trap them, it would be okay because we're going like Rav Shimon. So is it going like Rav Yehuda or is it going like Rav Shimon? Which one is it? That's the Gemara's kasha. Says the Gemara, the Tizbra. Rav Shimon, you think it's going like Rav Shimon? Ha'abayev Rav Adam Tavayu, Moed Rav Shimon, V'psik Reish L'yomus. It wouldn't help to go like Rav Shimon. If you actually trapped the bees, Rav Shimon is going to help you, because Rav Shimon is Moed by V'psik Reish, that it's going to be awesome. So to the extent that if you throw the mat over the beehive and you definitely trap the bees, even Rav Shimon would ask for it. So don't run and try and find a friend. Don't try and say it's going to Rav Shimon, because Rav Shimon would also ask for it. Yeah, may the Rav Shimon mistake Rachel Yamas. So the Gemara says you're right. Liyolam kuler of Yudi. Really, it's going to Rav Yehuda. It's going like Rabbi Yehuda, like we're Madaik from the fact that we didn't give the answer. It's going like Rabbi Shimon de Lasli Mokzo. It must be. It's going like Rabbi Yehuda. What about the case of trapping? What about the concern of trapping? What does it mean? What do you do with that? The case over here is that there are Bei Kavi. Says Rashi, it runs to the bottom. This Bei Kavi, Chaloineis. Yesh bedafnei seha. There's windows. The alpha pishim echasas pia. Even though it's somewhat covered, einon nitzaydin im la yehasa gamas achalenis. Unless you properly cover the windows also. Valeitei mo bavajle yiskavin ela bavajle yasena mitzuda. It means to say, as long as you don't properly do a trap, shle yistem achalenis. That's the way you should read it. Right? What it means to say is providing that you don't make it a proper actual trap. So says the Gemara of Shita. I mean, to the extent that we're going like Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda holds the Darshim Iskavin is Osir. So why would you need to say, oh, by the way, make sure that you don't trap the bees? Who are we talking about? We're talking about the Machmir Shita over here. Number one, say there's an Av Malacha. Number two, Rebbe Yehuda is the Machmir Shita, which says even though Shemis Gavin is Oster. So why would you need to say that? So as they're going out, Maroz is him a Biminoi Nitzayd Oster. I might think to say that when do we ask for something only if it's a type of item which trappers usually trap. But if it's a type of item that trappers don't usually trap, maybe there's no iser. Says Rashi, that is the type of thing that we would say is osur, osur lotzud. But in the case of bees, it's a davish ein b'minei nitzed. I might think therefore it's permitted. Kamash Malan, that's why you still need to say, we still don't allow you to do it. That is answer number one. Answer number two, simple answer, Rav Ashi Omar, the whole kasha is not shver. Your kasha was, I understand that there's going to be honey in the summer, but there's not going to be honey in the winter. Says Rav Ashi, Miktani b'mois hachama u'b'mois hagishamim hachama b'nei hachama. It says, don't cover it over for shade, or don't cover it over for rain. It's not discussing seasons. In which case, we can say very posh it, it's speaking about the times of the year when the seasons are mild, relatively. There's the sun, sometimes there's a little bit of rain. So there's always going to be honey around Nisan and Tishri time, in which case the whole kasha doesn't start, because we're not discussing the winter as such. Al Kaponim, this was, and there's a very similar sugi in Masechta Shabbos. We tried to disprove Rabbi Yitzchak with many kashas, and Lemaisa, Rabbi Yitzchak remained standing, but Ladina, we don't pass him like Rabbi Yitzchak. There is an interesting discussion as to, well, let's say you have, I don't know, you've got a little, some fruit trees, some little saplings, which are very delicate, and they can't have too much heat, and they can't have too much rain, and whatever. And a torrential downpour comes, and you would like to cover them over. So, based on what we've said, lechayit should be mutter. A kli is nitzel, litzich davishin and nitzel. The fact that these items are mukta and they're machovel lekarka, all right. But we don't pass like Rabbi Yitzchak, like we said. And therefore, I can pick up a blanket or whatever it is, and I can drape it over these tzmachim which are growing, and so too. If snow is coming, all these types of things should be permitted to do. And that is, in fact, what some place can say very clearly. I saw quoted from Rav Ozvin Shevet Halevi in Chedek Dalad Simon Lamed Vav. He says that you're not allowed to be mechasa ilonais and smachim hamchubarim lekarka Shabbos. Even b'makam when there's a hefse gadol, you can't. We say that a kli is nitzel, even letzach dava shein a nitzel. So why not? Why can't you do it? Says Rav Ozvin Chiddush. He says, to the extent, right now, the matziv is these plants, these trees, these tzmachim, they are heading for a kilkul. By you now covering them over, you are improving their zriya, their netiya. So he wants to say that that's also not because, forget about mukta, forget about the ein kli nitzel, tzech davashin and nitzel, forget about the sugi with Rabbi Yitzchak. He says that there's a reason to ask because of Malachas Zireya. Anything which you do which promotes the Zriya, the Gidl of an item, of a tree, if something growing is a problem of Zireya. But Lamais, that's a big Chiddush, because here all you're doing is you're being Misalik. You're removing a potential Hezek. You're removing a potential Hezek. I mean, you know, I didn't see the truth inside, but you know, otherwise, what are you going to say? I mean, if let's say, you know, there's a chamsin, it's boiling hot, and the sun is going through the window, and the tree is going to wilt. So, is it also for you to kind of lower the blind? And you know, is it also to do that during Shemitah and on Shabbos and all these types of things? I know they do speak about this, but our Kapanim, he says there could be a real issue because of Malachas Zireya. Another thing which is just, you know, this Sa'ara could be mentioned in many places, but we've mentioned over here, we've mentioned the Shita of Rav Shimon, and that made of Shimon B'Sikreish of the Yalmuz, and we mentioned that if a person, and we mentioned before at the top of the Yalmuz, that being Mash V'Gumais, doing something in the Bayis, is a problem of Binyan, and if you do it outside the Bayis, that's a problem of Harisha, and so on. And in a case where it's a psik resh, if it's definitely going to happen, then Rabbi Shimon would agree that it's awesome. So the poets can speak about if, Rahman al-Slan, a person is confined to a wheelchair, and either they're pushing themselves or someone else is pushing them, but are they allowed to use their wheelchair or a baby stroller? Can you go in an agala on a dirt road? Or can someone in a wheelchair go on a dirt road? Because surely in that case, you will see the tracks of the wheelchair and you will see the tracks of the stroller on the ground. So is that a problem of Harisha? Is that a problem of Harisha on Shabbos and Yom Tov? And that the Poskim seem to say that it is permitted. No, what Shimon says, if it's a psik resh, it's a problem. So once you've made a groove, so that's the question. You know, you've made a groove. I mean, usually Gemara says, well, Vajliyasa Choritz doesn't speak about the depth of the groove so much, and so on. So they say a couple of reasons. They say it's not a problem. Even in a case where you make a Choritz in the dirt, it is okay. One mitigating factor they say is, they say, Ein ho'agolach chiferes be'ofar Ela kiveshes isoy. They say there's a difference between a chafira, where you're digging, and when you're pressing down. There it's kind of just pushing down. That's already considered to be a different thing. That is one mitigating factor. Shlomo Zalman quotes the Aruch. We know the Aruch appears, but this Aruch appears in many places in Shas. The Aruch says, Psik Reisha Doi Nichale. If it's a Psik Reisha, but you're not particularly interested in the result, it's Le Nichale / Le Ich Pasle, you don't care about it, and so on. So says Shlomo Zalman, we can be Mitzarif, the Shitas Aruch, you know, Psik Reisha Le Nichale is fine. Another tzad lahakel is it's being done kalachar yad, certainly not a normal case of doing a harisha, and so on. And then the last point is what Bobby mentioned, is what they say that shebemitzias he sheagolis yeladim einam oisim charetz beoffer haroyel izria. Seems to me here he is saying this thing that it doesn't go deep enough in the ground. That it's really, remember, harisha is if you do something to make the soil more suitable for Zriya. But, you know, just a very, very, you know, 1 millimeter, whatever it is, thickness, that doesn't really do anything to make it more suitable for Zriya, in which case it is permitted.
So that's the last point.
Sweeping a dirt floor is a problem. A dirt floor is a problem, correct.
Well,
the Gemara says the problem with sweeping a dirt floor is because you might come to flatten it. In theory, if you're just sweeping a few bits of dust, that would be okay. But the concern is because of being mashma gumais. That's what the Peskim say. That if we, you know, nowadays, if we live in a place where we don't have dirt floors, we have tiles and we have carpet and so on, so then you are allowed to sweep the tiles. Because, right? Good. It's a good question. The question is, you know, what are the percentages of psikration? It doesn't have to be 100%. What about if it's karav levadai? There is a machlekes as to, you know, exactly how karav it is and how, when we speak about davishim miskav, davishim miskav means it might not happen. It might not happen. But, you know, exactly what the percentage is, Ladina, I'm not sure. I think they say as long as you wouldn't be surprised. You wouldn't be surprised that that it doesn't make a groove, you know. But if it's a very, very heavy chair, it's a very heavy bench, you know, it's going to make a groove. And you would be surprised that it doesn't make a groove. It has to do with that. That is one gather which I saw quoted. Okay, we said v'nesen kli tachas adelef b'shabbos. The person is allowed to place a keli underneath the drip on Shabbos. Tana. We learned in a brayse nismala kli, if it gets filled with this drip, with this water, sheifach, you're allowed to spill it out. V'sheinen, you can put it back. V'einen nimna, you don't have to worry about it. Rashi says v'einen nimna milishnus kol hayoyimim tzach lekach. You can go ahead and put it back the whole day long if you need to, no problem. Says the Gemara, a fascinating story with a very, very interesting. I don't know, I'm a bit troubled by this, but no, it's very, very interesting, the implication, what comes out of this story. It says the Gemara like this, Bei Rechayda Abaya. So Abaya had his Rechayim, his mill, Dolof, and there was a drip. Rashi says, Hadelof Hainefal Ala Rechayim Shalai. The drip was dripping on his Rechayim, Rashi says, Vayu Oisin Betit, and it was kind of starting to get dissolved. And he was stuck. He didn't have enough kelim to put underneath the drip, and he was stuck. So the rabbi came to his rabbi. Now, Amalei, rabbi said the following: Zil aili lepur yechlasim. Take your bed, move your bed from your bedroom into the place where your Rechayim is. Delahavi kegraf shel rei. Now, this way, this thing now will become a graf shel rei. A graf shel rei is, I don't know, a bedpan, something which is used for a person to excuse themselves into. A graf shel rei is a davar mos, And because it is considered to be objectively, or the truth is, it doesn't actually have to be objectively disgusting, it is more of a subjective thing, but it's considered to be something which is vile and mos, and is at a tiltor. So he said, bring your bed into the room, now you will be very offended by what's going on over there, the afke, and you'll be able to remove the whole thing. If you look at Rashi, it's still either put you in the hasam, the baishu sham, to the room that is there, that have a grafshal ratio, ma'usim a rechayim lecha, the whole rechayim now will be disgusting in your eyes. Liyo yislef nebi tascha, va'ata mutter letaltra, now you can pick up the rechayim. So you don't have enough kalim to cover it. Bring your bed next to the rechayim. There's a rechayim made of tit. It's getting mos, it's getting disgusting, and you'll be able to take it out. Kedam lekamon, graf shal rei, mutalei tziel ashpa, graf shal rei, you can take it out. Interesting discussion in the Achronim, is the pshat, the graf shal rei is mukta, but it's a heter, or no, a graf shal rei is not considered to be mukta. A bedpan is not mukta. That's what it's intended for. It's not, you know, that's it. I think that's what the Chazanish says. Al-Kofanim, it says, take your bed, place it next to rechayim, the rechayim will become a graf shal rei, and you can do it. Abai was bothered by this psak, and at the end of the day, Rabba paskin the kula, right? A nice kula to be matzal mammon of his Talmud. Abai was bothered. Yosef Abai the kokashale. Lechiyosim graf shal rei lechatchila. Are you allowed to go and orchestrate a graf shal rei lechatchila? In other words, if the matzav is that it's a graf shal rei, okay, it's mutter. But for me to orchestrate a zar matzav, says the Gemara, Ada Hachi Vachi, in the interim, while he was contemplating, while he was hesitating, Nafu Be Rechayed Abaya. Abaya's Be Rechayim collapsed, and he lost it. Omar, he responded and he said, Tasi Li, which we'll translate for now, I deserve it, it's come to me. The Avri Adamar, because I was over on the teaching, the psak of my Rebbe, Rabbo. Let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi says, very interesting. Rashi says, Tuvayeni, Zois, Bischari. This should come for my schar. I mean, this should be my punishment. Shavarti al divri Rabbi. Explains the Mashal in Rashi. Pirish, Yehirotzin Shiyovi Zeh Hefsid Bischari, Vale Kabal Enesh Mimokam Acher. He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please let this be my punishment for the fact that I did not listen to the psak of my Rebbe, and I shouldn't be punished with anything else. And it's very interesting, elsewhere the Mashal, in Yamshal Shloimei, in Baba Kama, in Perek Zayin, Eismam Aleph, he brings a raya from this Gemara about the fact that it's aser for Talmud to be machmir neged Rabbi. Im loy sheyesh le raya listor dvarov, unless he's got a proof that his Rebbe is wrong. You're not allowed to be machmer there. There's a discussion about if someone is acting in a holier than thou manner. It's mechzik yura that it's royal and adosay. And says the Mashal brings a raya from this Gemara, you're not allowed to be more machmer than your Rebbe unless you have a clear raya against him. I was a bit bothered by this. Because if you look in the sugyas in the beginning of Harius, the Gemara there speaks about a case where the Beis Din pass in a certain way, and there's a Talmid shehigia lahayra, and he follows the psak of the Beis Din without questioning, and then the Beis Din realized they made a mistake. The halacha is that the Talmid needs to bring a karban chatas and explains the Gemara and the Ramban, and there's a Rosh Hashanah over there, because it's incumbent upon the Talmud to question and say, but one second, I thought the last time I checked, I thought chalev is forbidden fat. I thought you're not allowed to eat it. You're telling me you're allowed to eat this? I mean, he has an obligation to go and to say, but one second, doesn't the Pasuk say that you're not allowed to do this? Doesn't it say in Shulchan Aruch you're not allowed to do this? You have an obligation, you can't. Says the Ramban, that's called that you made a toast in mitzvah lishmaya divrei chachamim. There's a mitzvah lishmaya divrei chachamim, but don't make a toast that if your Rebbe says You know, by the way, you know, you're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos and cook if you, you know, if it would be more gishmak to have fresh food on Shabbos, because Einik Shabbos is super important. You're allowed to question that. And if you don't question that, then you are to blame and you have to bring a Karban Chatas. So if we see that you are responsible if you don't question, what's wrong with the buyer hesitating and questioning to himself, you know, is that true? But I thought Enes and Graf Shal Rei Lechatchila. To me, it's still, I'm still bothered by the Gemara and by Abaye's reaction. Tasteily, I deserve it. It almost seems to me what comes out of the Mashal is that if you have a raya, then you should say, one second, I thought the Pasuk says this, I thought the Gemara says that, I thought the Shulchan Aruch says this. That you should do. But if you don't have a raya, and just to start to contemplate, ooh, Efshazoy, but you don't have a raya brura, your Rebbe Paskin, you do it. And if you don't have a raya, even if the lack of raya is due to amaratzis, it's due to ignorance, but it's a michzi ki yura, you have this appearance that you're being, you know, firmer than your Rebbe, and more machman than your Rebbe, and that you're not allowed to do, ad today, that Abaye says, is kumtmer. I deserve this, and halavai, I shouldn't get another punishment, and this should be the punishment that I get for not listening to what my Rebbe said. Very, very interesting case. Good. Says the Gemara. Amishmo graf shal rei, v'avit shal mimir aglaim, mutalei tzion la'ashpo. So if you have this pan, which is used for soya, or a bedpan, which is used for miraglayim, mutulay tzien la'ashpa, you're allowed to pick it up, normally, without a shinoi, pick it up, take it out, no problem. Ukashu magziroi, and when you return it, here, nesen boi mayim umagziroi. Before returning it, you should pour water into it, and then bring it back. So Rashi says, "Nezim b'mayim emachzira demuktzin machmas mius hein." So because otherwise it's muktzin machmas mius. V'ilav agav maya lematzi letziltalino ulahitziyahu d'shay mishum kavodei. We allowed him to take it out of covered. So Rashi says very clearly that a graf shel rei is muktza, and that's the way the Mishnah Berurah in Siman Shinches Sifkat and Kuf Lamed Vav seems to go. Unlike what I mentioned, the Chazanation, Simon Chesis Yud, who seems to understand that Grashri is not Muktzah at all. But Al Kafanim was saying that because it's Muktzah, there was a heter to take it out because of human dignity. But to bring it back, you have to fill it up with Mayim now. Frank Rashba, fill it up with Mayim. This mayim is disgusting and filthy. Remember, this is something which you use for excrement. And now you're going to put a little bit of water in it. Oh, I put water in it. Fred the Rashba. What did it help? So he says, Yeshlema, the chazu l'beimah. It is, it's not in Ganson off limits. It is roy l'beimah. And so on. That's the way he gets out of this. Yeah, so they do say that also. Someone points that out. Because you might need it later on, and certainly if you need it later on, for sure you can bring it back, 100%. But in a case, I'm sorry.
He's holding his hand ready, poised out. So once it's in his hand, will somebody continue holding and bring it back?
Well, the question is, if you have something in your hand ready, can you? So it depends. Some muktzas yes, and some muktzas no. If it's muktzah machmas, if it's a klish machta, it's a yes. If it's muktzah machas chasan kis, then often we say not. You know, and there's a discussion about, you know, the sakin after milo, what you do with it, and so on. Sometimes we are machmer to say that you shouldn't. So it seems to be that he's bringing it back, not necessarily because he needs to use it right away. But I know someone speaks about that, I just forgot. Say again? Could be. Yeah, and another we shouldn't speak about. If you need to use it again, what's the story? That just finish up. So So we thought that the heter is to be metal to the ground, surely only agav, the liquid inside. But you can never, ever take soya by itself. Let's say you don't have anything to take it out. You want to pick it up with your hand and take it. We thought there's no heter to do that. Toshma, dahu achbarta deshtakach bei afar maski, asmar aspar maki, the Ravashi. There was a rat which was found in the besomim of Ravashi, Amalu Ravashi, Nakte Btsutsisa Zafkua. Pick it up by its tail and take it out. So you see you're allowed to actually pick it up if you find a dead rat. And you know, like the Rosh says, there's an inyan for a Talmud Chacham to show what the halach is by doing things which people don't necessarily know. Pick it up straight, take it out straight. There's a pen on your chair on Shabbos. Pick it up normally. Pick it up and you can take it out, no problem. Okay, we've got 1 minute. Let's see the Mishnah. Very important, very famous Mishnah. Kol shechayav and lav mishum shvus, mishum rishus, mishum mitzvah. Things which Chazal forbade for one of three reasons: either a regular sederabbanan, or there's an aspect, an element of need, but they still assert, or there's an outright mitzvah and they still assert. All those things, when they assert the Shabbos, chayav and lav biyamtiv, they also assert on yamtiv. The elan mishum shvus. What are things which they assert stam? Le'olim be'ilan, don't climb a tree. V'le'rech na'gabi be'ema, don't ride an animal. V'le'shatim apnei amayim, don't swim. V'le'metapchin, v'le'mesapkin, v'le'meraktim, don't clap, don't bang your legs, and don't dance. V'le'en mishum ashus, the following things, there's an aspect of need. Le'danin, don't dan, din teira. V'le'mekarchin, don't get married. V'le'choltim, v'le'meyabmin. And finally, the elan mishum mitzvah, the following things they ask, that even though there's a clear element of mitzvah, lay makadishin, you're not allowed to be makdish, an item to hekdish, nor may you be marech, an item, nor may you be machrim, can consecrate, v'lay magbi in trumas and maestros, kalei lebi yomtav amru, all these things they forbade on yomtav, kal v'chema b'shabbos, and finally, ein bein yomtav v'shabbos, ela eichol nefesh bovad. Okay. I've got some more mitzvah.